maturity. Maturity is the Greek word teleos, and it means to be of full age. It means to mentally and morally be mature. And it comes from a prime of telos in the Greek that means to point at something as your mark and go for it. Now, I guess that's about the best we humans can do, is to take that prime of the word teleos and make it read telos and set the mark and shoot for it. Because it seems like, I don't know about you, but about every time I think I've almost gotten there, I realize I either slipped up or forgot something. I just can't quite make it, because the word means perfection also. And I don't know about you, but I never have been able to be perfect. I know a lot of people think I am, but, whoa. The Irish took over early today. All right. Well, you know, really, isn't it kind of ridiculous when we think of ourselves, knowing ourselves the way we do, that we could be perfect, you know? But we do keep trying. That's what's important. And I suppose the most important thing is that you have the maturity to know Christ was perfect. That's what's important. And let that be your mark to shoot for. Many encouragements were given in the Scriptures. And I'm going to tell you, within the simplicity of this subject, teleos, comes the foundation of faith, certainly of love, for love is that foundation. If you don't love someone, you can't have faith in them. By that I mean, like as our Father. You have to trust His Word. You have to know Him. And certainly that is the base, and it is a powerful force. But maturity, of course, begins with a believer. They begin to believe and shoot for that mark, and as they mature in the Word as student, and then some own up to seed planters and teachers into maturity in the Word. And as I stated earlier, when Paul spoke, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but then when you come to maturity, you begin to learn things such as there are three world ages. But there's not. There's no disagreement between science and God's Word that this earth is millions of years old. And that's quite a comfort. And that's what maturity does for you, is to bring you into that fuller understanding past the milk. And certainly the milk is beautiful. At that point in maturity that you come along, but when you, as all babes start with milk, then you grow into adulthood. And I've seen some adults before they ever hit 10, as far as God's Word and understanding it is concerned, with clarity in the simplicity in which Christ taught it. Many times people think that maturity means we must grow very complicated and be able to speak great swelling words of wisdom. You kind of got the world mixed up with God's Word when you think that way. You really do. Because God's Word is simple. Why? It's life. It's reality. It's you. And it's your Father, and it should be, because you are as He was, in as much as you are made in His image. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of James. We're going to start with that. The great book of James, almost the end of the New Testament. And we're going to grow a little bit more acquainted with this word, teleos. And I'm going to begin reading with chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to settle it in our minds that who this was written to, because there's something special in it for you. What does it say? Chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, needless to say, you are to rightly divide the word. Who is it talking to? The 12 tribes scattered abroad, basically, but all people who come in contact with them as the word flows. So, meaning what? We all learn from it in maturity. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know, if you're ever tempted, turn it into a trial. Say, hey, can I cut it or not? Am I going to give in to this or can I boot it? All right? And apply your maturity to that. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? Probably not, but at least it kind of gives you a more mature understanding of what you're doing in facing trials in this world. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And boy, that's something we can all use, is patience. You know, so many people will say, I want patience now, Lord. Well, you got to kind of slip up on patience. And you know something? It comes from wisdom and it comes from maturity. Because the day, the very day that you understand with beyond a shadow of a doubt, our Father's in control. He has a lot of children, and He's got to be exactly the same to all of them as far as giving them an opportunity to pass through this earth age to choose whether they're going to follow Him or Satan. It's that simple. You wouldn't want Him to shortchange anyone, would you? Of course not. So leave it in God's hands. And you have a lot of people that say, I wish it were tomorrow. Well, do you really, you know, that may be well and good as a figure of speech, but leave it in God's hands. He has a perfect plan, and you could mess it up if you got your wish, couldn't you? Maybe. It may be. It won't be tomorrow. Too many things. The Antichrist might come tomorrow, but Christ certainly won't, other than in the Spirit. So, be patient, and patience comes with maturing in the Word, that you trust your Father and you love Him to know He knows what He's doing. And He knows that you're His servant. He knows when He can rattle your attention. Starting to say chain. A lot of people might not understand that. But anyway, be that as it may. He knows where you're at. He's got your telephone number. All right? Knows all about you. Probably more about you than you know about yourself. And it's in the book. So learn to be patient with that. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. There that word is, teleos, that you may be mature and entire, wanting nothing. So you see, it has a great deal to do with that, with maturity, with patience, with understanding. And again, as I forestated, loving your Father enough to let go when you've done what you can do, and let God. He knows what He's doing. We don't many times. We simply study, and we see as through a dark glass. We know pretty well what's going to happen, but He knows the moment, the time, the place, and He's your Father, and He does it for your benefit so you can totally be comfortable in that. Please don't take what I'm saying to mean all I got to do is just lean back and relax and just let God. That's not what I said. God wants doers, that you're to understand it to the best of your ability as you mature in it, and that you can't handle, that you can't control, let God. Let God be, well, I wish I had more patience. Well, ask Him for it. Ask Him for the maturity to understand He loves you. Well, and there are people that get on pity parties, I didn't think anybody could love me. Well, we do. Regardless of yourself. But so the important thing is God does, okay? God loves you. He loves every child He created. And I'm sure that it still grieves Him that He had to sentence some to death already. I know that He is total and He is complete, but I know He has emotions also. So, mature in His Word. Now, let's do some skipping. Skip down to verse 12, okay, in this chapter. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. And that is something to strive for. Shoot for it. Withstand temptation. temptation maybe that you wanted to take the boat out today. It's such a pretty day late in the fall and go motoring instead of coming to church, instead of remembering your father. By that I mean, don't put anything before God. Serve Him. And unless He tells you to take the boat and go help somebody or something, you have to listen to Him, all right? It does happen. 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, you let that sink in. Do you know why? God won't tempt you. Let no man say, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. It just, temptation comes from Satan. Temptation comes from self. Temptation comes sometimes from covetousness, of you wanting something, and you're willing to really go all out and forfeit some things to your betterment to achieve that. Think about it always, and with patience and maturity, consider and meditate. 14, but every man, that's each one of us, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You can beguile yourself. God won't do it, okay? Just won't do it. You can do it to yourself, or Satan can. 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth, sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And it will do that for you. What is sin? Sin is to transgress the law, that is to say, your father's word in any form or shape. That's a sin. We are to do our father's word. And how do you do it? First of all, you understand it in the simplicity in which He gives it, as it is written. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Listen carefully now. This is why we came here. Every good gift and every perfect, do you know what that word perfect is? Teleos, mature, of full age. Gift is from above. In other words, it's from your Father. Give Him credit for it. All those good things come from Him and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's not going to play favorites. He has people He will call on to work over someone else, but is not playing favorites. It's because He knows He can trust them, because they have documented and proved that they're good servants. But that doesn't mean He loves that one more than the other. It does mean He's going to bless that one more than the other. So understand God's love. He loves all of His children. It's just He doesn't love what some of them do. And naturally that comes in the blessing and gifts department. So be mature even in that, in understanding. Meditate on it. Don't get in a huff. Don't put yourself out. That's one of the easiest ways for self to lead self into temptation, is to grow a little bit angry, puffed up, put out. And I'm going to tell you who will do it to you quicker. By that I mean who will work within you to make you unhappy or a little bit unstable, is for someone you really love to do that to you, to doubt them. By that I mean, you expect more from those you love. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, and sometimes that will lead into taking people for granted. I guess that's not good either. So we have to watch that as well. But God doesn't play favorites. That's my point. And He doesn't vary as far as showing partiality here and then there. You can always count on that. Do you know something? That should cause you to love your Father more, to know He gives everybody the same breaks. He's not picking on you. He doesn't tempt you. You can love Him unashamedly, knowing that He loves you. And all you have to do to receive the gifts and grow into maturity is to settle it in your mind you intend to be more mature, and that comes from the wisdom of God which you gain from this Word. Otherwise, you can be a very unhappy, miserable, uneasy, picked upon, poor me baby. I mean, you can rise to that level or slip. Which is it? Okay, think about it. 18. Of His own will, Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures, that is to say, His children. First fruits in what way? He knew who He was choosing as His elect, okay? And one more verse and we're going to conclude this chapter. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Those are the things, if you will do those things, it causes you to be able to hear God's Word more rapidly. It means to hear with understanding also. It doesn't mean just to hear a voice, a sound, but to hear it with understanding. I mean, it hits right here in the old self. And we understand it because we can relate to it. God has a real good way of reaching us in that way, inasmuch as we are a part of His creatures. He created our bodies. He knows how they function because it's made in His image. So, therefore, don't get angry at anyone without thinking it over. This doesn't mean that so many Christians will take this the total opposite and say, I could never afford to be offended. Righteous indignation is not wrath, it's not anger. And if anyone insults God, I would be ashamed of you if your righteous indignation did not jump about 10 points instantly. Okay? There's a difference, so don't confuse those things. You can oversimplify God's Word, but then you lose the fact that it be truth. So you must stick to the truth and understand, keep everything in its context, subject after subject, object after object, so that you don't become a walking mat for people that you should stand up to because you can't help them otherwise. If a bully walks over you and you allow it, you hurt that bully. Okay? So if a bully comes up to you and he is twice your size and everything, don't just let him walk over you. Run like heck. I jest. You know, you do whatever must be necessary to do, but let him know you have a tongue. Use it. And that tongue comes from a mind of wisdom that can help that person. Okay? Our Father pleads with us to gain telios from telos, to set that mark and shoot for it, to better ourselves, then more like Him we can become. The better person we are and the more mature person we are. And let me assure you, God, if He's going to use someone, it's going to be a mature person. Okay. He's going to pick and give the gifts, as we read, it's truth, that He will give those gifts. And that might be, what do we mean by gifts? It might be a smile that can encourage people. It might be that you will have faith that you never have to open your mouth. I've been around people that had so much faith that just made me feel good to be in the same room they are, whether they ever opened their mouth or not. They were an absolute in fading for Almighty God. So, gifts come in many, many sizes and packages, all right? But they are from God. They come from above, not below. Meaning, Satan's got a bundle of gifts for you, too. And maturity lets you know the difference, all right? Now, let's turn over to the third chapter in this book of James here. Chapter 3 in the book of James, verse 1. My brethren, Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What he's saying here is, don't each and every one of you decide to be a teacher in God's church necessarily, because you get more condemnation than anyone else does. And sometimes it's not fun if you fall out of line. God expects more, and the judgment begins at the pulpit. That's all he's saying, and there should not be a teacher that isn't aware of that, and that's why every teacher should do his or her homework. I mean, thoroughly, clearly, and it had better be from God's Word, not some book other than the book he has given us of truth. That doesn't say you shouldn't become a teacher. It said be forewarned, all right? Because you're going to be judged harsher. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word. In other words, if you decide you're a teacher and you don't know what you're talking about, your word could really do some damage, bad damage. It could offend. The same is a perfect man. There's that word teleos, a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, the wisest and the best, sometimes we can fall. It happens. But no one understands when you do it hurts people. So do your best, and know nobody's perfect. Don't quit. Don't ever quit just because you mess up a little bit. But I would rather that you did your homework, and if you share what is supposed to be a truth, that it certainly be truth. And you know how you can guarantee that? If it's God's Word. If you've done your homework, then you don't have to be afraid or fall back from truth that is entailed and curtailed within the Word of God. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We can do that. You know, the lightest little person, you can put a bridle with bits in a 1,500-pound horse, and a child can turn them. For behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of furious winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. In other words, always make sure you're teaching truth, that you're planting seeds of truth, because it is a fire. Why? Your father is a consuming fire. And if you get a wrong spark started, do you know what happens? Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Gehenna, the word in the Greek. Always know what you're talking about, or you don't have any business talking as far as teaching or planting seeds. Okay? And we're going to skip to verse 13 here. Verse 13. What I want you to know is, what about wisdom? There's good wisdom, and there's also bad wisdom. And you might say, well, how possibly could there be bad wisdom? Well, wisdom of the world, without or minus wisdom from God. That's bad stuff. Because, yeah, with wisdom of the world, you can grow wealthy with ill-gotten gains, and that's just about a sure ticket to Gehenna that we mentioned before. So let's learn about wisdom here for a moment. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Question. How can you tell? Let him show, there's no gender in this. This is men and women. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness, of course, being humility. You don't have to be. You can be sure of yourself when you're in truth. A lot of people mistake that for arrogance, when you are just sure. And you can be sure of God's truth in God's Word. God dislikes for someone to say, on this hand and then on that hand, and then maybe we go in the between. If you don't know, you don't know. Don't play guessing games. You don't have any business teaching. If you don't know a thing, you're not qualified to teach it, nor is anyone else unless they know and understand. You got to check it out, see. So with humility and self-assuredness can you teach then? Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't be proud of that, certainly, and lie not against the truth. Against what is the truth? It's God's Word. Well, one of the most dangerous things in the world that you can participate in is to lie about God's Word. Do you know something? Some people come awful close to it when they enslave people by saying, God's Word saith this and saith that, and God didn't say it. I would not want to be in their shoes on Judgment Day. They're in bad trouble. 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Straight from the devil is another way of putting it. 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and evil work. Now, all kinds of commotion going on, misunderstandings, distrust. You can't have that in a group. No one can learn under those conditions. So, if you choose to be a teacher or a seed planter, learn to nip it in the bud. All right? Anytime you see commotion starting, nip it in the bud. And I guarantee you it won't amount to much if you're in the truth. Won't amount to a hill of beans. Well, what do you mean, brother? I mean, if some brother comes to you and says, did you hear about Sadie? Well, what about Sadie? Well, Sadie really messed up the other day. Your answer is, who told you that? And immediately they're going to begin to be frightened. Well, one of my friends. Who told her? Let's get to the bottom of this. And you're going to find out all it was a big puff of air to start out. Just a big puff of air, 9 times out of 10. So nip that stuff in the bud. It's not from God. It's from below. All right? 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. How did you identify it? Peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. If you can't do for one, don't do for any. Okay? I know a lot of people may wonder, and I don't know why I'm pulling myself. I usually don't use myself, but I will. I used to love to do nothing better than counsel people. I don't have time anymore. Why? Because there are so many people, if I did it for one, I'd still have to do it for all, and I'd never have any time to teach. So therefore, I have to anymore cut myself even away from personal phone calls from people that wish to ask me a question or something, and have to vie for the format where everybody hears the question and we teach all at the same time. Don't be partial. It's real easy for you to get a little click started that way. No need in it. That isn't that you're not to love everyone equally. But don't be partial, right? Now, this doesn't include your relatives and husband and wife, all right? You treat your wife a lot better than you do the neighbor lady, okay? You know what I'm talking about here. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Think about that. Don't forget that verse. It's a beautiful verse. And if you want peace in your life, God gives you the way through maturity, knowing how to handle something. That's why a wise elder is a wonderful companion when you have problems. I'm going to say that again. A wise, mature elder, and age has nothing to do with this, quite frankly. It's according to where a person has elevated themselves in the wisdom from above, rather than the wisdom that comes from below, whereby they can give that peace, that stability, that truth that will make you a rock or a chip off the old block of he that cannot be moved. Really somebody. That comes with maturity. Maturity causes one to be a good elder. Okay, so there we have and the difference in wisdom. Always understand that. Never in maturing confuse the wisdoms, because a lot of people can if you're not careful. Wisdom of the world has no place in conjunction with the wisdom of God other than to be able to recognize it. Stick and choose rather the wisdom of God, meaning mature enough to do it His way, and receive those gifts, those mature gifts from God on high, or you're going to have trouble in your life. You're going to have problems. And it doesn't hurt anyone, to occasionally take inventory. Just set yourself down and talk to yourself. Maybe it'd be better to do it where people can't see you. But talk to yourself. I mean, if it helps, take a paper and say, I got this and I got that. You know, why am I happy? Not really. Well, fix it. Nip that in the bud also. Find out why you're unhappy. It may be you're not meeting the ifs of God's book. It may be that, God forbid, you were being a little childish, because God doesn't like that a great deal when you're childish. So that really makes it hard on us people that are going into our second childhood, if that be the case. Stick to God's wisdom. Nip everything negative. Do you know what sin is in that sense? It's malignant. And the Greek will bear this up, all right? It's malignant. Because it's not just going to lay there and like a pimple and go away. It's going to grow. And it's going to overtake the whole body. So nip those things in the bud, whether it be in a group, within yourself or your family or what, okay? As far as your part is concerned, nip it in the bud. That's probably, when it comes to mature advice, that can be some of the best advice you could ever give, is to nip malignancy in the bud and cast it out. Get it? It has, if your house is God's house, it has no place in it. Okay. Okay, I tell you what, let's do. Let's go to 1 John. Turn right on back towards Revelation in the first epistle of John. Many people have trouble discerning spirits. I mean, they're what you got to know. There's the Holy Spirit. But don't ever sell yourself short. There are a lot of other spirits in this world. There's the spirit of selfishness. There's the spirit of jealousy. Boy, that'll slip right into your family and work the whole family over if you're not careful. I mean, and it's a wicked one. So there's all kinds of spirits out there in the world, and never, never let any of those spirits overtake the spirit of Christ, which is to say the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. They're going to talk to you, friend. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Well, how do I know? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. If any spirit tries to cause you to think different, and you know what? It may surprise you. I get letters from would-be experts, not daily, but almost every day, using traditions of men to try to attempt to cause me to doubt Christ. It happens. Let you know how many people really have lack of faith and doubt and are willing to take the wisdom of the world to try to override the wisdom of God. It's a bad, bad thing, but it happens. Know that those that accept Christ, then watch those spirits. But why I came here is the root and the foundation of maturity rests in love. Okay? Love is the strongest force in the world. Love, you know, you've heard me say it before, a Roman general would go to a foreign country and conquer and take the pretties, and who does he give them to as quick as he get home? His queen. That's love. Love demands obedience, whether present or absent. You can't force it, you can't buy it. So it is a powerful thing. And until you love your father, this is why I hammer him, let him know you love him. It is necessary, it is essential, because your faith I would question if you didn't just love him so much because of what he's done for you. And that is the foundation of maturity, quite frankly, because trust, faith, his reliability, your reliability, all hinges upon that. Okay? So, we're going to skip on down in this fourth chapter. I want to go to about, let's pick it up at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That's how you tell the Spirit, and that's how you receive the true Spirit, not some fake. Okay? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. That is the foundation. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's how you can tell the difference. You can't have sweet and sour water running out of the same spring, my friend, or the same mouth. And I will do some, we will put some sideboards on that in a moment. View in this generation, I will say parameters, okay, as though we were talking computers here. We'll put some borders on it. 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, never forget this. Do you know what that word perfect is? Teleos. Again, mature, full of age, grown up. Boy, I mean, a love like that is a love you can count on. It's there. It's permanent. It's precious. It's priceless. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Do you understand that that love will free you from saying, oh, I dread judgment day. Boy, am I going to get it. No, you're not. God loves you and you love him. You've repented, and there's nothing in the book for you to answer for. Okay? That's love. And to know that he loves you enough that he paid the price for you, even. How could you help but love him? And the fact that in your home life today, when there's trouble, he straightens it out for you if you let him. That also is love and maturity. But you have to use him. After all, he is your Savior. And that means he saves you from selfishness, from jealousies. And jealousy is a thing that some of us have a little more of than others, be that as it may. And if you love someone, you have built-in circuits. It goes like 15 watt, 30 watt, and 50 watt, okay? Your watt may blow a little quicker. I mean, some people's jealousy circuit may blow on 15 watts instead of 30. So hopefully mates usually have different... I really am sorry I got into this analogy. I really am, but be that as it may. Okay, I think you understand, don't you? Sure you do. Okay, but let your love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Boy, think about that. Do you realize how precious you are to this world? Do you realize how this world needs you? You as a citizen of the kingdom, this world with its wisdom needs you to set that example. Maybe to plant that seed. Maybe some even to teach. Who knows, as God would give you the gifts of maturity. Perfect love is perfect understanding in pleasing our Father and realizing that love for Him causes us to trust Him, strengthening our faith to know when we've done what we can do, we can be happy with whatever He decides. It may even be against what you desire. But you love Him enough to know He knows best. And you trust Him in that. Beloved, that is maturity. I hope you can weigh those words and weigh them well. Because they're true. And if you want to ever find peace of mind and maturity, you will find it within that statement of loving your Father, for He is love. Do you know what that means? He'll return your love. You can't outgive love to your Father, and it makes His day when you let Him know that you love Him. 18. There is no fear in love. Boy, that's a strange statement. No, if you love God enough, you know that you've used common sense enough to protect your family. And to protect your family, you have the adequate things in your drawer, nightstand, I should say, or whatever it takes, a ball bat, you know, it's common sense, but you can protect your family. And if you love God enough, you're not afraid, because He's going to let you know if somebody's coming that shouldn't be there. He's going to see to it if you love Him. No, He won't let someone slip up on your offside. If you love Him, there's no need for fear. You do the best you can and trust God. But perfect love, boy, there's that word again, teleos, from telos, set the mark, shoot for it, go for it. You may not be there yet, I'm not, but I'm still shooting for it, beloved. Join me in that. Let's do our best. Perfect love casteth out fear. Isn't that wonderful? You hear someone say, I'm just afraid. Perfect love, mature love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect, mature in love. There's a weakness there. And that should be worked upon. All right? And again, that's to set the mark. Telos. Set the mark, shoot for it. We love Him because He first loved us. Not so. God loved us first? Yeah, you see, He's the one that made you. And He loved you before He made you. That's why He made you, so He could have you. And He wants you to be like Him, and He is love. So the secret to maturity lies within those verses of loving your Father as He loves you, because it causes you to trust Him, to know He is faithful. He will not let you down. I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee, our Father says. Through Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse about 10 or 11, I'm sorry, verse 13 of chapter 10, there's nothing going to happen to you that isn't common to the rest of the family. It's going to happen to them, or could. And I will never place more upon you than you can bear, that you can handle. Hey, think about that. Can-do type people. That's a promise from God, and He loves you. And then He says, I will always give you a way out. Always. Boy, that just takes that fear and lets her fly in the night. I mean, it's gone. Because God is love, and He loves you. That's why He made you. He didn't make you because He wanted somebody to kick around. He didn't make you because He wanted some dissident to fuss with. He made you because He loves you. He wanted to share that love. He is love. And love is maturity and understanding. And it dispels all of those other spirits, selfishness, jealousy, covetousness, all those things we can just tell them to go chase a kite, right? That God gave us what we have and we're happy with it until He decides to give us more. And we'll make it. Can-do type people, because God intends that we should make it. So, maturity is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we're gonna whip on over here, if we can, to let's go to 1 Corinthians. There we have the maturity of love. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to understand why God would make this statement through Paul. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What does that mean? They just make a little sound and it never amounts to a hill of beans. Okay? It's just a sound. No meaning there. Now, how do you gain... Skip with me to verse 8. Charity never faileth. Love never fails. Okay? Don't ever forget that. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Boy, that's kind of sad, isn't it? Why? It's replaced with a better knowledge. Now, well, let's continue. 9. For we know in part. In this age, we know in part. We've got the scriptures. We work with them. We study them, and we see the front, maybe, of the picture. Maybe not the back. Understand my terminology. And we prophesy in part. We can prophesy the fact that we know the false Christ is coming first. Meaning, we don't see the clarity of it to know the day, the hour, and so forth. We love God enough to know He'll handle that when the moment comes. 10. But when that which is perfect, this is why we came here, that which is mature is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It will be superseded. And naturally, when does that come? Well, it comes when we change bodies, unfortunately. I wish I could say tomorrow or the next day. But you're in the flesh, and that's your tempt. It is that God placed you in, and that's why He would say in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it grieves me that I made man in the flesh, because the flesh is going to tempt you. I wish you could rise above it. Wish I could. Sorry. As long as we're in it, we got it. But learn how to deal with it. That's what He expects, okay? But that's going to all be done away with. 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. In other words, my reasoning was as a child. And beloved, until you open up and understand God's Word, you will still think as a child rather than in maturity. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. It's coming, beloved. Now I know in part, but then... This is Paul talking. He wrote most of the New Testament. Now I see in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. As God knows me, so it will be. And now abide a faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Is that love, that foundation on which this hinges. Real quickly, in closing, let's turn to Hebrews, the great book of Hebrews. How do you become mature as a Christian? What are you supposed to teach? What are you supposed to believe? The letter of the Hebrews was written to the Hebrews by Paul. Many think he was not the author. He is, but is rightly dividing the word. He was a scholar in Hebrew. That's where his education was basically set. And he could talk to them straight and more direct. Let's go with verse 9 of chapter 5, the great book of Hebrews. And being made perfect, there's being made mature, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Now, do you understand that qualification? He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You don't obey him, it doesn't apply to you. Doesn't fit, doesn't work, not going to happen. called of God and high priest, we're talking about Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, the King of Peace, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Paul said, I could really go into some deep things with you right now. Kind of hard to say them. You know why? Seeing you are dull of hearing. You've been Christians here a long time, but you can't hear those deeper things. Why? Verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. What are the first principles? Salvation. You've got to go back and do it all over again. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You can't handle what I've got to say, Paul is saying here. Why? If they wouldn't understand about the three world ages, they wouldn't understand about the false Messiah coming first. Why? Because all they've ever been taught is salvation and baptism. That's what. The very principle, basic steps of Christianity over and over and over again. And some of you in this room have sit in houses that taught it, and you sit under it for 30 years or more. That's all you ever heard was salvation, salvation. And you know it. You need to get into the meat whereby you can have an understanding and a maturity so that God can communicate with you. Otherwise, sorry, stick to your pablum and try to get yourself potty trained. You know, that'll get you up into the Word about quicker than anything, all right? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, can't understand it, can't teach it, can't share it, because all they know is the first step. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. I wonder if you know, could tell. I wonder how many of you could tell me what that word age is in the Greek. Teleos, you got it. Maturity, full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Do you exercise your senses, your mind, in the Scriptures, to discern both good and evil? That is to say, maturity from below and maturity from above, or better said, wisdom from above or below. You could discern. Why? Because you have exercised your mind in the maturity of God's teachings. Chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. You got it, teleos. Let's go into maturity. Leave off the first teachings of salvation if they're already saved. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. They should have it by then. Once you're saved, you should have faith in God, or you're not really saved. Of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Open your mind, okay, to Him, to the deeper truths. Don't go into one of these places that only teaches milk, milk, milk. You know, and I'm not telling you where you should go to church. If you feel you have a duty to go there, go. You know, because God probably wants to use you there. But you get into God's Word and study with more maturity. For it is possible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, 5, and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now you see, He gives it away there. When you know of the world to come, then you've got to know of the three world ages, basically. So he's saying, when you've had a little deeper taste, and you fall back again to one of those milk houses of salvation, and God only knows, I love them, all right? But it's unfair to never teach the whole, as best you can, of God's Word. Do you know what He says about it? 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again, go back to salvation, back to milk, unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. It is a shame to Christ. Why? Well, isn't it kind of like, let's say that we've got 30 people here and we've got us a nice little country church. They're all saved. But all we're going to teach them is salvation. aren't you kind of saying we doubt Christ could save us, so we've got to do this over and over and over? He doesn't like that. It's like you're trying to get him to die all over again, like he didn't cut it the first time. Rather than going on into truth that makes you useful, whereby God can use you as maybe a teacher, a leader, a seed sower, or something useful. He doesn't like it. That's maturity. I have one verse in Colossians that strikes my mind. In closing, and we're going to stop right there. In Colossians, I want to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And we stop with about three verses here. Listen to it carefully. Verse 12 of chapter 3, Colossians. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Who are you? As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels or heart of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. That's patience to you. Forbearing, that means bear with one another and forgiving one another. This is as a Christian group what maturity does. Remember it. Don't forget it. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, put on love. This says it all, beloved, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what that word is, teleos, okay? Though it's plural in the Greek. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Don't ever forget to be thankful. Now, real quickly, had we continued on in the book of John, it would have said, if a man hates his brother, he cannot have love. Now, what does the word brother mean? It means a brother in blood, but also it means in the love of the family. If someone's trying to kill you, I guarantee you they're not your brother. Okay? If someone is trying to break into your home and molest your family, they are not your brother. You know, that doesn't take too much wisdom to grasp that, right? So learn that in maturity, you must as well learn the discernment we spoke of a moment ago. And what does it say about a brother? I want to go, just so we don't do an overkill, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. We don't have to turn there. You know it. I've taught it. Is that if a brother disbehaves that you can't associate with, set him to one side. You know, and nip it in the bud. Maturity is a wonderful thing. It's something that we must work at on and on and on. And the more maturity that you are able to acquire within your life, the happier you're going to be. Because love is the foundation of maturity when you come to full age. Father, we thank you for the privilege, Father, of serving you. We thank you for your word of assurance. We thank you for your word that drives away all fear and gives us that peace of mind. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's